as you get your notes out and open to the inside page of the program and find the interactive outline and also that connection card that you can fill out and drop in the collection plate after it passes after the sermon. Thinking about something you can apply from the lesson, you can write that on the back and let the shepherds know. They will be meeting this afternoon. If you have something that you want to share with them, make sure you put that on there. And they'll be praying for that this afternoon, and that'll be a great opportunity for them and for you. But as you're pulling all of that out, I'd like to invite you to step back in time and put yourselves in Joshua's shoes. In Joshua's shoes. A land filled with giants and fortified cities and horses with iron chariots and trained soldiers lays out before you, and you're leading a group of slaves who've been wandering around the wilderness for the last 40 years because your peers refused to go into that land 40 years ago. On top of that, your great and fearless leader has just died and gone. He went up on top of a mountain and never came back down. You know, the last time he went up on top of a mountain and didn't come back down for a while, the people went into idolatry. And now he's gone up on the mountain again and has not come back. And this time he is not coming back. And that is when God came to him in Joshua chapter 1 and spoke these words. Joshua 1 and verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. Why? Because you're so great and you're so awesome and you're such a military strategist and your army is so wonderful. No, be strong and courageous because I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Now come back to today and put yourself back in your own shoes. A world of temptation and sin lies before you. Enemies abound. Islam is on the rise. The new atheism is having more and more impact. Cultural Christianity is crashing around us. And we have stumbled more times than we can count. And sometimes we begin to wonder, why do I even continue trying? And it's in that moment that God speaks to us. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can anyone or anything do to me? God says, I will never leave you. Do you remember what Jesus' final words were to his apostles in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20? In Matthew chapter 28, he had pointed out that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you. I will not leave you. I am there. This is the promise of God. This month we've been looking at the beginning of our hope, putting God in the beginning of our hope, and our hope can be anchored and rested on God when we consider the promises that he has made. We've talked about his promise of eternal life. We've talked about his promise to provide us a way of escape in the face of temptation. And today I'd like for us to consider this promise, the promise of God's presence. God is with us. If we are in Christ, God is with us. And I really don't have a whole lot that I want to say today. There are two things that I want us to gain from this. And I hope we can take them with us day to day as we remember daily, hour by hour, moment by moment, situation by situation, circumstance by circumstance, God is present. I will never leave you, he says. I pray that we can live by that promise. Before we unpack these two lessons from this promise, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father, you are magnificent and awesome, and you are here. And that's amazing because there are so many that have abandoned us and forsaken us and turned their backs on us in the moment of need. They've not been there, but you are always there. Satan sometimes tries to confuse us, to cloud the issue and make us think that you aren't present. Sometimes when you're not behaving as we had expected, we begin to doubt your presence. But Father, today we proclaim in faith that whether times are good, whether times are bad, whether it's rainy or sunshine, morning, noon, or night, you are with us. And Father, we long to live in your presence. We are thankful, and we know that you will not leave us or forsake us. And we pray that you will strengthen us, that we may not leave or forsake you. We long for you. We want you more than we want anything else. Please help us to overcome the distractions that Satan puts in our way, that tempts us away from you, that we will devote those things to destruction, that we will be strong and courageous and live by your word and your will, turning neither to the right hand or to the left, but lifting you up in our hearts and minds, that you may be honored and glorified by all that we do individually and as this body. Father, thank you for your promise. We're holding on to it today. Help us to hold on to it every day. We love you, Father. And we thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we offer up this prayer. Amen. Two things that we need to recognize when we understand God's promise. The very first one is, without God, we can't win. Without God, we cannot win. Implicit in what God told Joshua there in Joshua chapter 1. He doesn't specifically state this. He doesn't say, hey, if I'm not with you, you're not going to win. But when he points out that he can be strong and he can be courageous because I am with you and I will not leave you, his point implies that if God does leave, if God is not there, they cannot possibly win. Hadn't Israel learned that a generation ago in Numbers chapter 14? In Numbers chapter 14, when God had allowed the spies to go into the land, and they came back and they gave the report, and 10 of them said, oh, we can never make it. It's too much. The giants are too big. The cities are too fortified. It'll swallow us up. It'll eat us alive. And they decided not to obey God, and then they were rebuked. And they were punished. And at the end of Numbers chapter 14, they come back to Moses and they say, no, we got it. We understand the lesson. We're going to go in. Here's what happens, beginning in Numbers 14:39. When Moses told these words to all the people of Israel, the people mourned greatly. And they rose early in the morning and went up to the heights of the hill country saying, here we are. We will go up to the place that the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. But Moses said, why now are you transgressing the command of the Lord when that will not succeed? Do not go up, for the Lord is not among you, lest you be struck down before your enemies. For there the Amalekites and the Canaanites are facing you, and you shall fall by the sword. Because you have turned back from following the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up to the heights of the hill country, although neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed out of the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and defeated them and pursued them, even to Hormah. God didn't go up with them. And so no matter how hard they fought, no matter what they did with their sword and their bow, they lost. They could not win if God was not present. Keep in mind, they had beaten Amalekites before. In Exodus chapter 17, whenever Moses held up the rod, what have we said before about this? Israel learned the wrong lesson. They thought that what they were learning was, oh, we can beat them. No, what they were supposed to learn was God can beat them. And without God, we can't win. Even in the book of Joshua. Even in the book of Joshua, this lesson is reminded in Joshua chapter 7. In Joshua chapter 6, they went up to Jericho. And even though they had the strangest of battle plans, Jericho fell and they won. But God had told them to devote Jericho to destruction and the things that were in Jericho to devote it to destruction. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 18, "But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord." God had promised them this land and God had promised them these cities and the blessings of those cities. But as is true, God wants what's first. And so this first city was dedicated to God and therefore was to be sacrificed to God, devoted to destruction. And yet one man transgressed the covenant, Achan. And in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1, it says, "The people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things. And the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. And they came up with a plan on how to take Ai that seemed good to them. And they went up to Ai with just a small force because they were certain they could win. And they lost. And 35 of their men died in that battle. And Joshua falls down before God and says, "Why? Why did you bring us out?" And Joshua begins to sound like the rest of the Israelites. "Why did you bring us here? Just so that we could turn our backs to their enemies." God says to him in verse 10, this is Joshua 7 and verse 10, "Get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They've transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They've taken some of the devoted things. They've stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you." What does God say to them? He says, "Because you have taken these devoted things, you have become devoted for destruction. And I will be with you no more." And what happened? They lost. They can't win if God is not with them. The answer, of course, was, "Get up, Joshua. Quit complaining to God. Quit whining about it. Look, you guys have taken some things that are devoted to destruction. You need to destroy them. Otherwise, I'm not going to be there. Just go find those things and get back to obeying me. I'll be with you. I won't leave you and forsake you." But what had happened here is Achan had left and forsaken God. And what did they learn? Without God, we can't win. And brothers and sisters, that's where we are. Without God, we can't win. Without God, we can't beat temptation and sin. Without God, we cannot stand against the enemies who would preach and teach against us. Without God, we will fall before Islam. We will fall before atheism. We will fall before Buddhism. Without God, we will not be able to proclaim the gospel and spread the good news and draw people into Jesus Christ. Without God, we cannot win. And so here's the thing that we need to ask ourselves. If we are finding that in our lives, Ai is more the norm than Jericho, don't spend time blaming God and complaining and wondering why God is falling down on his end of the job. We need to take a look at us and our relationship with God. He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. Have we left? Have we forsaken? Are we hiding some devoted thing in our tent that needs to be destroyed? I'm not saying that God will only be with us when we're perfect. I understand, of course, that Christianity is about growth and we're growing. But if I'm cherishing some iniquity, if I am cherishing some transgression against the covenant of God, He's not the one leaving and forsaking. I am. And I need to ask, is there some devoted thing, something devoted to destruction that I'm hanging on to, that I'm hiding in my life, that I'm putting under the rug in hopes that no one will see and that God will ignore? Because if God is not with us, we cannot win. But there's the other side of that, and this is what we need to understand. With God, we cannot lose. With God, we can't lose. Without Him, we can't win. But with Him, we can't lose. Can we hang on to that promise? God says to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, this is all going to happen. Your enemies will turn their backs on you. You will deliver the land. And the reason it's going to happen is because I am with you. Be strong. Be courageous. No, Joshua, you won't win because of your military strategy. No, Joshua, you won't win because your army is so magnificent and strong. You will win because I am there. And certainly it's true that Israel had to take up their sword and their bow in the fight against these pagans, against the Canaanites. They had to fight in the battles. They had to step onto the battlefield. But it wasn't because of them that the victory was won. It was because of God. But they could step onto the battlefield absolutely certain that they would win the day because God, Yahweh, was with them. That's what it tells us in Joshua chapter 24. In Joshua chapter 24, verses 12 and 13, as he ends the book, in Joshua 24, verses 12 and 13, he says, I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. God says, I did that. Israel had to take their sword and their bow, but it wasn't Israel that accomplished this victory. It was God. And they could not possibly lose because God was with them. God gave them this. And that's what's true for us today as well. We cannot lose when God is with us. Well, that of course causes us to ask, well, how can I know that God is with me? Look at what God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, he said this to Joshua, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. When was God with Joshua? When Joshua was obeying God. Now again, I don't mean from this that God is only with us when we're absolutely and utterly perfect. What I mean by this is God is with us when we're going where God goes. If we're going off our own direction, doing our own thing, doing what I want, doing what I hope is all right, and expecting God to follow me, that's not going to work. I need to go where God is going. I need to do what God is saying. And here is the faith I can have. When I am doing what God is saying, God is with me. No matter how I struggle with the passage or wonder how what God said is going to work, whether it's about evangelism or it's about addressing sin within the congregation, whether it's about overcoming temptation, whether it's about confessing my sin to other people, the reality is when I do what God says, God is with me. And I can't lose when God is with me. No, that doesn't mean that everything is going to work out every way, just the way I want in every single moment. That doesn't mean there won't be bad days. There will be bad days in Hebrews. Chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. He doesn't just quote from Joshua. He also quotes from Psalm 118 and verse 6. In Psalm 118 and verse 6, notice the context of that passage. Back in verse 5, out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. The psalmist faced the day of distress. I'm not saying there won't be days of distress. There will be. There'll be a lot of good days, but there will be days of distress. What do we do in days of distress? We call on the Lord. We do what He says. We go where He's going. And when we do that, God is with us. And as He has promised, He will never leave us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? And God is for us when we're doing what He says. And I can put my faith in that. And isn't that the message to us of Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13? In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only is in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. What's he saying? He's saying, get busy, get to work, get on the battlefield, take up your sword and your bow, because what you do matters, because God is with you. If God wasn't with us, none of this that we do would matter. But God is with you, so do what He says. What I want to encourage you is don't get distracted by the fact that yesterday you messed up and did some things that God didn't say. Destroy those. Take those things to God and devote them to destruction. But today, just do what He says. Because He's with you when you do what He says. And you can't lose when God is with you. You can't lose when God is with you. What would you do if you knew you couldn't lose? What would you do? Whatever Bible passage you're reading and you're wondering, I don't have any idea how that's going to work. Just do it. Just do it the way God says it. Because when you do it God's way, it works. When you do it God's way, God is with you. And you can't lose. And that's the thing we need to understand when God says to us, I will never leave you. It's really just that simple. If He's not with me, I can't win. But when He is, I can't lose. So my question for you is very simply this. Which do you want to do? You want to lose or do you want to win? There's only one way to win. And that's God's way. How are you doing at that? If you'd like, you can put your notes away and pull out your songbooks. The words will be up on the screen behind me, though, if you'd like to follow along there. The question is not, will God leave us? The question is, will we leave God? That's the thing that we've got to look at. For brothers and sisters, those who are already in Christ, I encourage you, take a look at your life. Is AI more the norm than Jericho? That I'd encourage you, pick up the rug in your tent. Look under your bed, in your closet of your heart, and see if there's something devoted to destruction that you're cherishing and hanging on to. And take that to God and destroy it. Let Him destroy it. We'll help you with that today. You can bring that before us, and we'll pray with you, and we'll help you. You can find people to hold yourself accountable to who will work with you and help you overcome. Because we all need that. But if you're not in Jesus at all, please understand, you can't win without God. I mean, you may have some good days, you may be having fun, but in the end, you won't win. You can't win without God. And God will be with you when you do it His way. What did Jesus say? He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Peter said, repent, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God is with you when you do what He says and go where He goes. Can I invite you to go with God? If you're not in Jesus Christ, if you haven't done what He says about belief and confession and baptism, repentance, can I invite you this morning to do what He says? Don't turn to the right or to the left. Be strong and very courageous. Confess Jesus as Lord. Call on His name in baptism, being immersed in water and raised to walk in a new life, turning your life over to Him. And when you do that, you won't lose. You'll win. If we can help you with that this morning, we invite you to come forward right now as we stand and sing. Come down to the front, please.